We are once again welcome to yet another edition of Questions and Answers, reaching us from the Comforter Revival International Mission in Jalingo, Taraba State, Nigeria. We are here to widen our horizon on that which we do not understand from the scriptures or from the Word of God. And beginning the session, I'll call on our brother, Noah, to present the questions he has.
Hallelujah. So, there is a question here from the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. I'd like to read from verse 1, verse 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicate unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Sir, the question is, in this our generation, sir, if somebody as a minister of the gospel, like this our brother, went to meet the other apostles that were before him and share a revelation of what he shares, what God has revealed to him. So, in the situation whereby you run to meet a man of God that you thought he knows, and you now went there, you discover the revelation you know is even more than what he knows. So how can you, because this man went to these people because they know more than him, and he shared with him. In this our generation, sir, how can somebody, a young minister, how can he do if he want to relate the vision or the message that God has given to him with those people that they are ahead of him?
If the message is scriptural, because what God revealed to this brother, they are all scriptural. He now went and met the people that work with Jesus physically. If what is shared with people, whether they are truth or not, in our days, if you need to go and meet anyone, the same Holy Ghost that put it in your mind to go and meet that person will mention the person's name. This brother did not just go about to meet any other person. He said, they that were of reputation, they that walk with Jesus, they that they are in line with what God has spoken. But you know, today there are things that he will hear something. Maybe God show you something in the scripture, you take it to someone for explanation, to confirm, so that you will not do things anyhow. The same Holy Spirit that put it in your heart to go and make that inquiry, you still point the person you make an inquiry from. That is the key. Because after the time that this brother went up to meet the people, there was argument in the Gentiles region. Let's just turn to chapter 15 of Acts and read from verse 1. That's where the matter began. And certain men which came from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. Now, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had so small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. That was all they bring. Now they say, unless you are circumcised according to the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. But the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him up from the dead, he shall be saved. So keeping the law of Moses does not save anyone. But the people now say, no, unless they keep the law of Moses, they cannot be saved. That's what brought them to go and ask the question. Is it what Jesus taught you? They now say no. And they gave answer. Let's read verse 28 of the same chapter. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Look at the answer now. For it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. It means what those certain men went to tell the people is a burden. Now, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fear ye well. So, what Brother Paul was saying is that, is he keeping, it's not the keeping of the law of Moses that will make people to be saved. It is confess Jesus as their Lord. Some will tell you today that you must confess all the known sin you ever committed before you can be saved. There is nothing like that in the Bible. The same thing that happened to them is still happening today. Some will see you when you are not preaching sin. They say you are not doing what is right. But Jesus never sent out to go and preach sin. He go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the termination of sins and for the impartation of God's righteousness. It's still happening today. So what he went there to discuss is when they were putting burden upon the people there. He now went to ask them. They now told him, say, look, those burden is not what will make them to be saved. Some will say, before you can be saved, you must start wearing a ring. No. That is not what makes you to be saved. For you to be saved is for you to make Jesus your Lord. And once that one happens, then you are saved. Then as you keep growing, you will know other necessary things to abide by. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So the second question is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwell in him and he in God. Sir, the question is this, sir. We have a lot of people truly that has confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord and their personal Savior.
Yes.
But sir, evidently we did not see the manifestation of the confession. Is it that they have not confessed with the whole of their heart?
No.
Or something is wrong somewhere?
It's people who misunderstood them. Which part of us that is saved? Our spirit. Your soul and your body is not saved. Now, as you keep renew your mind to the word of God, then those, I've said it again, it's like when you program something into the system, then you need to program new thing there. You need to delete those ones. Not that they are not saved, they are saved, but it's their spirit. Their soul and their body is not saved. That's why a child of God can still behave the same way he used to behave until his mind is renamed. Okay, like for instance, a mother has a son, and the son is between two and four years. Did that son behave the way the father behaves? Is it because it's not his son? No. What made the son not to behave exactly the way the father is behaving? Maturity, growth. We need to understand that And it's only our spirit that God recreated. Our soul and our body is not recreated. That's why, like in the last meeting, I said in that meeting, I said, they will call you your name. Even when you are, before you were born again and after you have been born again. But the man inside has changed. So it takes a process of renew your mind before your character can change. The same way you used to talk before. If you become born again today, in the next 1 year or 2 years, some of those language will not leave you. So, but the more you keep renew your mind, then those language will not be going. That is the key. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. He talks of your spirit, not your soul, and not your body. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He speaks of our spirit, not our soul and not our body. So, by the time you now begin to understand the person that God has made your spirit man to be, and what God has given to your spirit man, it is that time that the power of God will begin to flow through your life. They are born again. God dwells in them, but they don't know. Do you know some people are born again for 30 years? They never knew that God dwelt in them. It depends on where what they are receiving. It depends on what they are hearing. So when the word of God is properly taught, then people will grow quickly. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I have another question in the book of Micah chapter 2, verse 5. Malachi chapter 2, precisely verse 7, because of time. For the priest least should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So, my question here is, the priest is talking about the either the pastors, but I want to know, what about if the priest did not have the accurate knowledge of God? How will you know that what he's teaching you is not accurate?
That's why what he's teaching has to be in line with God's word. I've said it again and again that if anybody tell you anything, as far as God is concerned, he need to establish it, where he's bringing it from. Somebody cannot just come and start talking. You should ask him, where are you quoting all these things from? Yeah, for the priest least should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Is there everyone that preached today that is called by the law? I think the answer is no. Good. Now, in a certain place, let's go to chapter 17 of Acts 17. Let's read verse 10 and 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. That's 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. The next verse. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. When Brother Paul preached to them, he established what he told them from the scripture. And they went about to search it, whether what he said were truth. I think the problem today is that if anybody just stands to preach, whether he bring it from the word of God, people doesn't bother. And by not bothering, if the church doesn't bother the people, they are simply jeopardizing their life. It is your duty as a receiver to know where is he bringing this thing from. Because your spirit needs to live only by the word of God. So I can say his body, how do we know? You know, but if somebody just comes and say, Jesus healed the sick, I didn't tell you where it's written. If he didn't tell you where it's written, it is your expected of you to ask, please, which passage of the scripture is that? By the time he tells you, then you go there to read. Because the word of God is for everybody. So for us to know, if it's reading, anywhere it's reading something from, it should show us. If such person should not show it me, he's bringing an idea from his own self, not from God. Please give us 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. It's a command. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. What did he say you should preach? The word. And it is the word that a man preached that the Lord confirmed. It does not confirm our eloquence. He only confirms the word. So if those who listen to the word, to what someone is preaching, they not bother to ask if he's quoting from the word of God, it's their own problem. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, the quoting from the word of God, the quotes from the word, we even jot them down.
Uh-huh.
But in the place of explanation, the word is written, you saw it in English, it's written. But the explanation on how do we explain it is coming based on their own idea. And they will tell you it's an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So how do you be able to bring out that this word this person is explaining?
We are saying, I understand now. If somebody say is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what is saying? The word of God we are reading, is it the inspiration of the Holy Spirit or not? So if someone cannot rightly divide the word of God, you should know that he needs it. He says, study, I think in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21, you will realize that every word of God is an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Both the prophecy they claim to know. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day down and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. If somebody says the inspiration of the Holy Spirit from his own side, that inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he has to be in line with what is written. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by the inspiration. But what is the scriptures? This is where the matter lies. You must know what scripture is all about. Scripture is only, the scripture means the testimony of Jesus Christ. He came, he died, he was raised from the dead, and he ascended up to heaven. That is the scripture. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. Says, search the scripture. In them ye know, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. It means the scriptures is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So anything anybody is saying that have nothing to do with the testimony of Jesus Christ, that he came to live and die and was raised from the dead and he ascended up to heaven, is not the scripture. That's it. So if anybody says, okay, it's okay, at least before you believe any scripture, you must have at least from the two or three. You can't hear from the Old Testament without coming to the New Testament and believing. No. You have to. He has to be in two places. Say from the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Finally, sir, on this question, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, say, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
So what caused people to always learn and never come to the knowledge of the truth, especially in this our generation?
It's lack of focus and concentration. There's nothing more. There are laws and principles that govern everything. So if we miss the principle that govern the word of God, then we miss it. Because the word of God has to deal with hearing, thinking. If what you hear, you didn't think of it, it will fly away. You see, ever learning and never come unto the knowledge of the truth. So it is your duty to come. When you hear, then what you hear, you must get to the point of understanding before it can be established. Because if we, let's read from verse 5 for clarity purpose. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. For you to really understand what God said, hearing alone is not enough. You have to sit down to make sure that what you hear, you think it until the understanding breaks forth into your spirit. One. That is the issue. Today, now, as soon as meeting is ended, until another meeting, some will not visit what they learn. They will just close the jotter and the Bible then to another day. And before that day, the best has come and take it away. Because there are three ways. I think when Jesus speak about the parable of the seed, the soil went to sow. There are four kinds of soil, of earth. The wayside, the stony, the thorns, and the good soil. Even the good soil, they don't produce the same result. The difference is their level of understanding. Give other Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. Listen to the first one. He heareth the word and understandeth it. which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now, some here, they never understand. So they can't bear this, they can't bear fruit. Understanding, I said again, understanding, the best way to understand, there are four ways to understand in the Bible. But the best way to really understand is when you sit down with what you have to ponder on it. Then the Holy Ghost opens it up to you. Sometimes when you are praying in this in the Holy Ghost, it brings a scripture to your mind. Do you know many times you will just ignore it as if it's just a word that came? No. That one needs to be pondered on the reality of it. Take hold of our mind. But when you sit down with what God said, I want to know why this thing is like this. And how do you understand what God said? What God said, how God said, and why God said. If you put these three things in your mind, then understanding will come to you very quickly. What God said, how He said it, and why He said it. The moment you know the reason why God says something, then understanding has come. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question says, how can we effectively walk in the blessings and power of God?
Come again.
How can we effectively walk in the blessings and the power of God?
You can walk effectively in the blessings and the power of God by combining grace and faith. By the combination of grace and faith. That is, God has made, has provided everything for us by grace. We need to appropriate them by faith. So the combination of these two forces will make you to walk and to enjoy the blessing and the power of God. For ye are saved by grace, through faith. These are the two forces that you must combine. Grace is what God did. Faith is what you use to receive what God has done for you. If you combine these two forces together, then you will live in the reality of God's blessings and God's power. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, why is it that most Christians do not have faith in God and His promises to them as their Heavenly Father? How can this problem be solved?
The first thing is that they have no knowledge of it. Number two, because of what they have swallowed up, even when they hear it, the devil tells them don't believe it. In a situation where somebody grew in a particular denomination whereby they say miracle has ended with the apostles, how would that person believe God for miracle? So it depends on the doctrine they are fed with, what they fed with. So what solved the problem, faith problem today, is the word of God. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot get faith by praying. You get faith by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Why is man the reason for the earth existence?
Come again.
Why is man the reason for the existence of the earth?
And because God knew, God wanted man. You see, we cannot have two kings on the same throne. We cannot have two kings in the same city, in the same palace, on the same throne. God has made us king and priest unto himself. But what he needs to do now, he has to create our own planet for us. That's the reason why he created the earth. Psalm 115, verse 15. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. That is why even at the end, when this earth and this heaven is clear away, a new heaven and a new earth will still resurface. Because earth is meant for man. God will be ruling in his own throne in heaven. Then this place, the earth, now becomes the reflection of heaven, where man take control by the inspiration of God. That's what earth is meant for. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good luck is said to be possible by hard work. Yet I am hardworking, and I've not come across good luck.
Hallelujah. Now, what kind of hard work are you doing? Is it physical hard work? The greatest hard work is mental work. Some are hard working today physically, but they have no sense. They are not creative. It is creative work that attracts God's favor. It is creative work that make people to encounter good Lord that we are talking about. Okay, if you want to talk about hard work today, those who load sand into the tipper loader, do they not exhaust more energy? How much do they pay them per day? But somebody will see that inside AC, and you say it's turning up to 2 million in 2 weeks. What is the difference? And the person loading tipper in the next 1 year, 2 million, in fact, 10 years, may not see 2 million. But the other man exhausts more energy than the man in the office. But this man is exhausting mental energy. He thinks, why is something like this? Why do we produce this? But the person loading tipper is just to make sure the thing feeds, the sand feeds the thing, let him go and pour it. So many are doing hard work today, but in a very foolish way. So that's just it. Okay, say for instance, a driver. They will employ a driver in an organization. They pay them little. And driving is a very hard work. Because all your faculty is working when you are driving. But the people in the office, they pay them very well. Why? Because of what they are contributing. May I ask you a question? The person that asked that question. What is your hard work contributing to humanity? Is your hard work not contributing to your stomach alone and your immediate family? If your hard work is not blessing humanity, I guarantee no good luck come to you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. God relates with man based on the knowledge he has on God. How?
Come again, please.
That God relates with man based on the man's knowledge of God.
God relates with everybody equally, but you receive the relationship he relates with you based on your knowledge of him. Yes. As I'm talking now, I'm talking to everyone, right? Many people are hearing now. A 4-year-old person and a 30-year-old person, who do you think that will capture the reality very well?
That's
it now. God speaks to everyone generally and equally, but not everyone receives what God is saying unto him. That is the issue. So when you develop your mind to a point, then you'll be able to value what God is saying. Not that God is not saying something. You tell the child, don't run, no. He ran. He broke his leg. You think he'll fear you. You treat the leg. In the next 2 days, is running again. You wonder. Why are you still running? But you sustained an injury yesterday. He can't, in fact, he can't do without that. But tell an adult, 30 years old, he fell down, he will walk gently. What is the difference? Maturity. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So does God use everyone he called?
God is said to use everyone he called, but not everyone that God called is ready to be used. Because for God to use anyone, God has to use it. The person has to agree with God's time. That's why Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Not everyone can endure that. Many will not like to go by God's time. They have their own way of doing things. And God doesn't force anybody, and will never force anyone. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows very well that Ishmael is going to be a thorn in the flesh. Why did he allow him to become great? And his offsprings today are troubling the children of the promise from the seed of Abraham.
Thank you very much. Do you realize that whether anybody you call the name, whoever on earth, were created in God's image and God's likeness? Now, is it God that permits him to be tormenting people? No, not at all. They choose to torment people. And the people they are tormenting today have been given power to live above those torments, if they will understand. So, everything that God does is good. But people take advantage of it and use it anyhow. So it's not God that wished that they should be tormented. They decided to do that. You will see on the process of tormenting others, they themselves die and waste their life. So it's not God's will.
Thank you, sir. Once again, sir, how do I convert time to money?
How do you convert time to money? That's good. You begin to convert time to money first by adding value to yourself. Then, having done that, you begin to add the value you have added to yourself, begin to add it to others. Number three, then, you convert your time to create a product of value. Let's assume, for instance, you write a book that blesses people. You can't be sharing it free of charge. They have to pay for it. So, to convert your time to money is the reason why you are existing in the first place. Because when you convert your time to add value to yourself, you become an influential person. As you are now releasing the value you have added to yourself to bless others, then you are converting it to money. At the end of blessing people, some will say, thank you. Some will say, take and go and eat. So that is like that. Three things you use your time for. Invest your time to add value to yourself. Invest your time to add value to others, then invest your time to create a product of value. The answer you are using today, somebody invested time to create it. Even if the person is not alive, his product is still, money is still coming out of it. Conversion is the most important word you ever had in your life. So as you are adding value to yourself, knowing that the reason why you are adding value to yourself is so that you'll be able to add value to others. And to be able to create a product of value that will bless people. If you are doing this, you won't lack money. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, you said that words are powerful.
Yes.
It either build or destroy you. And anything you say, the angels carry it out, and you will have it. What if you mistakenly say a thing? Will you still have it?
You will have it unless you cancel it. Let's get to the scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? Don't say it's a mistake. That's why you have to train yourself very, very well. Before you utter a word, you want to think, this word, what will it create? Then, Numbers 14, verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as I've heard you say in my ear, so shall I do. As ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, it says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned. So when you know that your way determines your destiny, then you will learn how to speak well. We are spiritual, but we see the result in the physical when it is released. Everything you see on earth today were created by the word of God. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. It is said in the scripture, as from God, saying, Jacob whom I love and Esau I hate. Why?
Why?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Yes, sir.
Why? And why? Why? It is because Esau represents the old nature. Why Jacob represents the new nature? Old nature doesn't please God, but new nature please God. That's why I say, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. He has to send Jesus, go and terminate the old nature in order to impart the new nature. That's why I say, it is written in the volume of the book of men, to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So when you hear that Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved, he simply refers to the old creation and the new creation. The new creation is called the beloved. But the old creation were not called the beloved. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. And another here quoting from the scripture saying, why will the first become the last?
He said the same explanation. The first shall be the last, and the last shall be first. He's still talking about the new and the old creation.
Thank you, sir. If there is no peace in my marriage, and I did everything I could to do, but all in vain, is that my Jericho wall?
Actually.
And what is the way out?
You think you have tried. Maybe you have not tried the right thing. If you try the right thing, then you will see the right result. Maybe all you're trying has been the wrong thing. May I tell you the truth? God never give anybody Jericho, the word of Jericho. Eh? Because as we are talking today, there is no longer a word of Jericho. The word of Jericho has collapsed. Go back again and try the right thing. Then when you try the right thing will work in your body.
Thank you, sir. Based on Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 2, I want to know, is baptism necessary for someone who is born again?
Baptism is necessary. Water baptism is necessary. water baptism is necessary. Simple. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So water baptism is necessary. So if I have not done one water baptism, go ahead and do it. But don't come to me.
The question asks that it talks about living the principles of doctrine of baptism and
yes.
Many more.
Yes. So what is the question there?
Well, the question is whether it is necessary, and he has answered.
I have answered. It is necessary to be baptized by immersion.
Okay. In Psalms chapter 103, verse 3, the Bible says, "Who forgives all your iniquities?" That means he has already forgiven you. Why is it then that when we sin, either intentionally or mistakenly, we still ask God for forgiveness?
Because the word of God says, he has already forgiven you, but for you to be clear that he has forgiven you, you have to do that. As far as God is concerned, before you commit a sin, he has already forgiven you. But for you, in fact, some person asks God for forgiveness in the next 4 years, they never believe that he's forgiven them. You know, there are three persons that must forgive you. God forgives you, you must forgive yourself. And if you wrong your brother must forgive you. It's one thing for God to forgive you. It's another thing for you to forgive yourself. But according to God's word, confess. When you know that you sin, make confession. As soon as you make confession, you will experience the forgiveness. But God has already forgiven you before you ever committed this sin. Before you were born. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, why and how can one get revelation knowledge?
What you are reading in the Bible is not the knowledge. Go back to him now, he reveals to you. See, the epistle from Romans to Revelation, they are revelation knowledge. Just take it as it is written there. Because the epistle is the explanation of whom God is, what Jesus has done for us, what he's doing in us, what he's doing for us, and what he has made man to be. Next question.
Thank you, sir. When they brought to Jesus the woman caught in the act of adultery, what was Jesus writing on the ground before he answered it?
Hallelujah. Since they didn't tell her what is written on the floor, on the ground, so I don't think that is necessary. What we are after is that the woman caught was forgiven. So anything that is not in the Bible, I don't need to dig it out. Only he knows what he wrote on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So according to 1 John chapter 4 verse 20, should we confess it or thank God for it or pray for it?
Come again.
1 John 4:20.
4 John chapter 4 verse 20.
Yes, sir.
And we are projecting, let's read. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? What is the question there?
Now, should we confess it?
Confess what?
I don't know whether the person knows exactly what
please
he wants
go to
ask.
Please go to the next question.
As a student with the exams barely 2 weeks' time, how should I write it?
Come again. Come again, ma.
I think the question is not clear by itself.
It's okay.
Yes, sir. So why is it that believers today commit sin?
Why do you decide to go against God? You know, God give us freedom of choice. So the person asking that question,
yes, sir.
Will you set fire? Why is it that when you set fire, you didn't put your hands in it, let it burn your hand?
Thank you, sir. Moving ahead, sir. Can you explain, sir, the principles of tithing and first fruit?
I don't think that is something that we should be talking about here. God has spoken in His word. Whatever He gives you, return 10% back to Him. I don't need any explanation about that. If anyone is not ready to give that 10% back to God, it's between him and God. God didn't send me to go and preach tithe, but to go and preach the gospel of Christ. So issue of first fruit and tithe is not my mission to preach. The next question.
Thank you, sir. Sir, the next question is, how can I know the work that God has predestinated for me to do?
How can I? Can you know the work that God created you to do? And by knowing, by asking Him who created you. By asking the Almighty God who created you, He will show you. By asking Him.
Excuse me. In the book of John, that John said, the sheep hear my voice,
yes,
and they follow me. So is there everyone today that hear God's voice and knows what God really wants him to do? Because once you have once told us that the word of God, even if God did not speak to you, from the word of God that is written, you'll be able to know that God has spoken. Then concerning that work that God wants you to do,
You go ahead to search that thing. That's why I say, pray to him.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, somebody, maybe God has destined him to be a shoemaker. Now, how can he know it from the Bible that God has destined him to be a shoemaker? Having not written in the Bible, shoemaker.
Did he not have passion for it? Did he have passion for it? Do you know that something that rings in your heart every now and then? The truth, the best way to know what God wants you to do is what you wish to do from your heart that you are passionate about. Whether there is money, there is a reward or not. Let's read the example of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, what Jesus loved is what he came to establish. What Jesus hated is what he came to destroy. Likewise, every human being, there is something you hate with passion. It means that's what God wants you to destroy. There is something you love with passion. That's what God wants you to establish. It's as simple as that. You see, some person, there are some certain things you see, it just grieves your heart. That things is not supposed to be like this. That is a pointer to what you are here to destroy in order to establish the opposite. That is the truth. This is our example, it's our master. He loved it, then he came to establish it. Then what he hated, he came to destroy. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So what you hate with passion is a pointer to your assignment. You see some people, when they, whether they are in the meeting or they are not in the meeting, you see them singing anywhere. And they sing as if they were born with it. It's not when you come here that you started looking for what. When you were, before you were born, what you will do has been put into your spirit. That's why when you see what you hate, it's a point that is calling. That this thing you hate, oh, I want you to do something about it. And when you see what you love, it's telling you that this thing you love is what I want you to establish. It's not when we get here before God put it there. God has already put it before you came. But it becomes easier when you are now born again. Then your spirit is now in alignment with God's spirit. It will be easy for you to quickly grasp what the Holy Ghost will be showing you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Sir, the next question is, I want to take it for myself now. While I was coming up, I love security work. I love standing, especially those SS.
Mm.
I love seeing them with that black glass,
yes,
staying at somebody's back.
Is it from your heart or from your physical appearance? You love the addressing.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because I wanted to know the difference between, because you say what you love.
Yes.
So I love that. In fact,
excuse me, you don't love that, you like it. Because love is of the spirit, not of the mental. Hello? You like it. If that is your area of calling, you will have a taller than this. Eh? You know, don't let us misunderstand, meet together that what you like and what you love, they are two different things. What you love is in your spirit. What you like is what you can see with your physical eyes. Do you understand the point? That's it. Every boy born into this world, at least 90% of them, when they see a soldier dressing, when you are coming, you will like them. Abi, those men who are here can testify.
Yeah.
Because of the way they look like, and because of the respect that they command. So that one is not love, you like it. Do you get the point? That's it. We see many people today who like it and they went to training, they died there. I have a school mate of mine like that. They have not even taken the day they went to just run, whether they will be qualified or not. That was the day he fell down and died. So that's it. But if we look at this Jeremiah 1 verse 5 very well, he said, before I formed thee, before you came to your mother, I already sanctified and I ordained you for this. So the day we discover, we say we discover God. No, he has been there. When someone becomes born again, something beginning to tell you that you just have dissatisfaction, that there's something. There's something that you simply do without training. Just come out. That's what you are born with. You know the one you struggle for? I doubt it. Look, let's read. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, that is, I separated thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Simple. Everyone, before God created you and sent you to this world, what you are coming here to do is already put there. It's as simple as that. Before Jesus' pregnancy was conceived, what is going to become was spoken. Is that not so? The same thing I'm giving to John the Baptist, even Samson. Before his conception, what is going to become was spoken of. Those things that if the mother didn't tell him, the father didn't tell him anything about that, a time will come too. You see the way we're doing things. So that's how it used to. But don't let us mistake what we love to what we like.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, by the grace of God, you taught us that everything of God is in our spirit.
Yes.
And God is a spirit.
Mm.
And a new creation man too is a spirit.
Yeah. Both the old creation and the new creation are both spirits.
So what's the end of a man?
The end of a man?
Because God has no end, and is a spirit.
Man has no end. Because when you live here, you continue living. The end of a man is to be with God for forever. But the end of man who refuse to receive Jesus is to be with Satan forever. So it has no end. That's how you see forever. You call it everlasting. So that as God has no end, man has no end. Because here is a transition. And after we transit here, when the new heaven and the new hell will be formed again, then man will still come back here again. And continue.
How?
This is what Revelation says. Read your Bible very well. Because man was created to rule the head. God is to rule the heaven. Two kings cannot sit on the same throne in the same place. If we read Revelation 21, 23, behold, I made a new heaven and a new earth. The old one is passed away, then the new one. Originally, man was not destined to die and transit from here. That was not the original plan. But when Satan came and corrupted the man, then God also sent Jesus to go and terminate that man in order to bring the new man. So that is it.
Sir, is there any such thing as untimely death? Because God does things at his own will. And everything works for good.
Do you know what we call untimely death today? Is because we go astray. Yes. Let's say for instance, when we went for the crusade, one of our sons fell down and broke the hand. As soon as we came back, the father started making sure that the hands is okay. Is it the will of the father that he broke his hand? Yes or no? The same, like, it's not God's will for us to die untimely. But we die untimely. Why? We don't know God. We don't seek God. God will say, this is the way. We say, no. Let me go my own way. So if anything happens along the line, we will still come back to God. In fact, sometimes when you get to funeral, the way they normally say, God give, God take. Excuse me. And they will quote scripture out of context. All things work together for good. Excuse me. Untimely death is not God's will for any life. It's the devil. You say, the devil cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Any untimely death, somebody didn't finish his assignment, he died untimely, then it's not God that taken. But our misbehavior will make us to die untimely. Yes.
Sir. The person went further to ask, is there any time that God does our own will?
God do your own will?
Yes, sir.
You know, he permits you to go and do your own will. He just allow you. Eh? It's we. It's what should prevail. He won't argue with you with your will. He will only suggest to you and advise you, this is not my will for you. If we insist, he allow you. And whatever you say at the end of the day, you take it and come back to him again.
1 Corinthians 15:56.
Okay.
Does strength of sin is the law.
Mm-hmm.
So does it mean that the law strengthens sin?
Before law came, there were sins. But they never knew that it is sin. What reminded us that this is sin is the law. Is that not what he said? Eh?
Yes.
The law. Before the law came, sin has been there. But sin was not known until the law came. It is the law that tells you that don't steal. Have you? So that's the sin. That's what the Bible says. The strength of sin is law. Is the law.
Thank you, sir. Sir, Jesus had the Last Supper with only the 12. And in his ministry, he had more than 12 disciples. Why were they only 12 at the Last Supper?
Okay. The reason why they were 12 is the reason why they were 12. Yes. The 12 were to lead the others. The 12 were to give example to others. That's why when you are dealing, even in, like, so let's come back to government. Why is it that the president of the nation doesn't relate with everybody? Why is he not having meeting with everyone? Why did he have meeting with only the executive?
Minister.
Why did he have meeting with only the executive? Okay, why is he the governor of each state doesn't have meeting with every member, everyone in the state? I think wisdom tells us. If we can hear the head, hold the head, then the body will be touched. Simple. If we lift somebody head up like this, you will see the body will follow. So that's it. I think that's what it does.
Thank you, sir. So how can I offer a reasonable service in the house of the Lord?
But he showed you how to offer it. Let's go back to the scripture. I beseech you, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Rendering service that is acceptable, it has to be with service, with not with eye service. It has to be from the heart. It has to be voluntary. It's not what they force someone to do. And it's not what somebody should do based on what people will say. That's the reasonable service. Now, before you go and do anything, you will have reasoned it. You see some people that do some things in the house of God, they will go and do it secretly. That nobody, they don't want anybody to know, they don't want anybody to see them. If what they want to render does not demand public something, they do it silently and go their way. So any service that people want people to clap for them, it's no longer service. It's unreasonable. Like giving. Yes, like giving. Someone to give now, they will give you publicly. People clap for them. They are getting their reward. If we offer a gift to someone, must everybody hear it? Jesus said that when you give, do not sound a prophet like the hypocrite. If we read Matthew chapter 6, it talks about it. So anything that we do outside what God said, then it's no longer this noble service. We have to do it according to the pattern. But you know, we love to follow the trend of what is going on in society, whether it's scriptural or not. But if we want to follow the scriptural way of doing things, we have to do it based on what God said, not based on what people are doing. In fact, this area of giving, many have received their reward. Some people say, I sow seed, I don't get results. How do you sow it? I ask. Some will give, they will put cardboard paper and label it publicly. The whole world is there. He said, you have received your reward. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, from verse 1. You know, giving is service. But for our service to be rewarded, it has to be according to God's will, to God's word. Take heed that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Can you see now? But you will have reward of the people here. They will clap hand for you. They say, we love that thing you do. You have received your reward. Therefore, when thou doest thy arms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the church, and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is their reward? But when thou doest thy hand, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That is scriptural way of rendering giving service. But today is otherwise. I don't know why it's like that, though. But they follow the trend. This is how they are doing it now. As good as wonderful as that. You see how God wants it? Look at what he said again, verse 4. Thy harm also may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Is it happening today? May your service be rewarded by God.
Amen.
But there are a lot of things that we have left. I enter into different kind of things. And what? We sound trumpet too much. That's one area. You see some persons, for instance, they want to claim the share. 2 hours for the meeting, they don't do anything. They won't come and do it. They will not come when the leadership will see that they were done. They have taken their reward. So if we want to do things acceptably, then we have to go by what God said. That's the scripture that I read. Let me just check whether we can get it. Give me in Proverbs 28 verse 14. Let me see what is there. No, 27:14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, he shall be counted a curse to him. No, let me read it again. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, he shall be counted a curse to him. How many people that their blessing become curse upon their own life because of the way they render it? Please, can you, do you have another translation? Give another translation, please. A loud and cheerful greeting early in the morning will be taken as a curse.
Kai.
If you wake your friend in the early morning by shouting, "Rise and shine," it will sound to him more like a curse than a blessing. So there are things that's gonna, if you want your service to be acceptable, do it in accordance to the written word of God. And then from there we have our reward. Again, let others see of what you are doing, not you. Proverbs 27 verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Verse 2. Let another man praise thee, and not thy own mouth. A stranger, and not thy own lips. Yeah. The scripture is so complete, but because maybe some of the things that people do today, they don't know. Yeah, they don't know. And one thing with God is that when you don't know, that does not make it not to happen. This is where the matter lies. Yes. You see, I said that's okay. Another day.
Thank you, sir. There is a follow-up question, sir, from the from Exodus 23. That verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and he will take sickness away from the means of thee. Why do we render service today and we are still sick?
Yes. How do we render the service is much more considered than the service. Deuteronomy 28 verse 47 and 48 will answer the question. The service, as whatever a service is, the manner of rendering it matters. Deuteronomy 28 verse 47 and 48, not verse 14. Thank you. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. For the abundance of all things, therefore, shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. That will never be your portion. You see, service, as wonderful as service is, the manner of rendering him matters to God. Some render service and take the glory of God. What's the law? So if we study, we are acquainted with the word of God very well, then our service will attract more blessing from God than it. Now, in the Old Testament, that is the law given them. But we are no longer under the law. You understand the point? We have been redeemed from the curse of the law in the New Testament. Yes, God wants us to render our service accurately. But you know, Satan, you give him one leg, he go 1,000 legs. So if service is not rendered, you see some things, let's assume that just okay, a leader just called a meeting, want to come and do some work. Some will come because of that leader. Not because they are willing to come. So service is irrelevant. What you cannot do on your own, don't do it because the leadership is present. not there. That is a useless service. Yes. And anything you are rendering, any service you are rendering, not with joyfulness, forget it. If I didn't do it, they will say, ah. I don't want people to be saying that maybe I'm not serious about this. You know that you are not serious about it. You understand the matter now. So that is it. You see some people, they declare January, 40 days fasting and prayer. They have announced it, but for Jesus said, if we read your Bible, I hope I will not be stoned. But I need to tell you the truth. Let's go back to that thing, Matthew chapter 6. You see now today, now our fasting now as God's children, and the one they do, unbelievers do, is the same. Is that not so? Eh? Are we in Matthew chapter 6? Let's get to verse 16. From verse 17 again. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face. 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. He will ask the government workers and all of this now. You see that most Christians, when during their fasting, they used to fast generally, they are very, very aggressive in the office. You see some of them dull, they look like this. What is happening? We're in our season of is it not? We're on the mountain. Is that true? But God said they have received their reward. Eh? So if you want to render service to the Lord, you do it in accordance to what God said, not what people are doing. Thank you. Next question.
So I follow up to this question. What if it is about a corporate prayer among the brethren?
Okay. If it's a corporate prayer among the brethren, must they use the microphone? Let's assume that there is a congregation of 100,000. Do they have sessional head? Do they have departmental head? Can't they pass the message to departmental head and let them distribute it to everybody? But you know, in the era of social media now, as you are saying it right there, the whole world is hearing it. We shouldn't do things because somebody else is doing it. And one thing I would like everybody to hear, to know, every one of us will give account of himself. Yes, that's just to God. If we check the Bible, the reason why you see the power of God is not moving, as it's supposed to move, is because we violate a lot of things. So this year, our own fasting is 160 days. And so what? The world is waiting. What do you bring after your 160 days? To bless you. When Moses went to the mountain, he came with 10 commandments. When Jesus went to the mountain, he came back with healing, with deliverance power. So I want to do, what do we bring? Hunger strike. Activity without productivity. Next question, please.
So how do I know that I am filled with the Holy Ghost?
How do you know? By knowing. If you ask, you see, let's go to the Bible. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The moment you say, you are a child of God, you say, my Father, you promised that the Holy Spirit will be given to your children. I ask now in the name of Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. As I believe in faith, I receive. You receive. You don't need any feeling. The next thing that comes to you, you begin to speak with other tongues. You don't need feelings for that. You know. You know because you ask. And he said, if you ask, he will give you. So God cannot lie. You know that you are filled with the Holy Ghost in accordance to God's word. Next.
Thank you, sir. Sir, you talked about a new heaven and a new earth. What would be the difference with this earth?
This one is corrupted. This one is corrupted. You know the people that will come to that new heaven and the new earth, they are those who are redeemed. This wickedness will have finished. So a new one, like when God created Adam and Eve, then the journey continues. So the old one will go. We pass away just like a cloud removed. That's what the word of God said. Next.
Thank you, sir. Sir, we have a few more questions. The next question is, sir, how can I that carry the Spirit of God sometimes see myself getting angry against the spirit that is within me?
Well, maybe that one is demonic force. Because the Holy Spirit is good. It's a good spirit. For someone to get angry with who the person that is good, it has to be Psalm 143. Let's read verse 8 to 10. Psalm 143. From verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for indeed do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift all my soul unto thee. Verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. If somebody now decides to get angry with the spirit that is good, it means it's an evil. Only evil get angry with good. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter to sweet, for sweet, and sweet for bitter. So if there is any anger in any life against the Holy Ghost, it means that person, something is wrong. He needs to turn back. The reason why everybody runs to God, it is because God is good. The reason why people are running away from the devil is because Satan is evil. Simple. Although that such an anger may be, God only fires something into somebody's thought. It may not be in his spirit. Because a born again child of God, his spirit and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. It's as if somebody stays angry with himself, which only a madman does that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, as a new creation man, I want to ask this question in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his error? Clean thou me from secret faults.
Yes.
Sir, do we have anything called secret faults in the new creation man?
The person that do that, do you see such prayer in the New Testament? The answer is no. Abi? The New Testament prayer is that, enlighten my eyes of understanding that I may know. So if such prayer now is transferred to the New Testament, it means we are going back to Egypt. Because your spirit, your born again spirit is pure, is cleansed, no dirtiness there. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4. I've said this in several times. People disagree because of what they have swallowed up. You know, human being love activities, adventure that make no sense. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Your spirit man as a born again child of God is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. So your new, that your spirit as a child of God is pure, is holy. And your spirit can never be more holier than it is now, till eternity. You just keep knowing. Your spirit man is not divine. Your spirit man is separated from sinners. Give us Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Then Colossians chapter 1 verse 22. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and not reprovable in his sight. So, someone that understands what God has made his spirit man to be, will he be asking God to do that? Next question.
Thank you, sir. Sir, in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, but ye have an unction, in another version say anointing, from the Holy One, and ye know all things.
Yeah.
So how can this become reality
in someone's life? By making it a reality. By acknowledging it. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Philemon verse 6. Many never knew that their spirit knows all things. Many never knew that the anointing of Jesus Christ is in their spirit. So by knowing and acknowledging it, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Just keep acknowledging it. Keep knowing that is there. Some person has been born again for 30 years. They never knew that the anointing of Jesus is in their spirit. And they never knew that their spirit knows all things. I think the major problem we have today is our mind. Nothing can come out of your spirit physically without passing through your mind. There are some religious person now that will disagree with this. Some religious person believe that healing has not been done. I was telling a young man today, I said, before, we used to beg God to help us take away our mountain with all sincerity. But that is not the rule. Whosoever shall stay unto this mountain, it didn't say whosoever that stay to God of their mountain. But because we met religious people like that, you know, somebody pray, and they say a certain pastor should bless food one day. Father, we pray that you sanctify this food and will bless our spirit and our soul and our body. Food doesn't bless your spirit. Food doesn't bless your soul. With a correct grammar, you think he's praying a nice prayer. Food, physical food, only bless your physical body. Nothing more, nothing less. If we spend up to 2 minutes in itemizing grammatical with phonetic, excuse me, and they thought he's doing anything reasonable. Say, bless food. We thank you for the provision of this food in Jesus. It's okay. Now, he began. As he finished, he said, oh, anything you eat in life have nothing to do with your spirit. The only thing that has anything to do with your spirit is the word of God. So by constant acknowledging, continuously that I have the unction from the Holy One and I know all things. Which part of you? Your spirit. So as you keep acknowledging it, you are now reminding your mind. So from there now you begin to dare the undearable. Other will say this is not possible. You say, it is written, nothing shall be impossible unto me. You move. So that's how it is.
Thank you, sir. Sir, based on what you just said now,
yeah,
from the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verses by acknowledging.
Yes.
So I still want you to explain more about this acknowledgement based on the book of Exodus 31 about Bezali. The Lord said he has filled him with the Spirit of God.
What part of him?
His spirit.
Yeah.
But sir, did he acknowledge in his own place?
Without acknowledging it, will he be able to bring all those designs? Acknowledging I'm talking about is that bringing what is in your spirit to your mind. You are thinking what is in your spirit. How powerful is what is in your spirit? It means your spirit can never be defeated. When such things begin to come, the religious people will say you are proud. Religious people will say it's not possible. But you know. Because there is a spirit in man, with the inspiration of the Almighty, give it understanding. Then bring the understanding into your mind by constant acknowledging and reminding yourself that this is what God has placed in you. That's how it works.
Thank you, sir. Sir, in the case of Solomon,
yes,
having prayed in the spirit, sir, what is the place of training in this place of acknowledgement? Do you just acknowledge and transfer it to your spirit without going for training? How will you bring this that is in your spirit to your...
It's okay now. Do you know that any training whatsoever anyone undergo have no meaning until he exercises? A soldier is trained to fight. But if there is no war, that training can be there for the next 20 years. Until the day... How do we know that you have acknowledged is when problem comes? Because what is in your spirit is to bless you and to bless others. It is when trouble comes today you will know that God's children doesn't have God's knowledge. They don't know until problem comes. When challenges come, ability to solve the challenges by trusting God is what makes you to know that you truly acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. All what we are doing now, until we are faced with reality. Yes. Because, give up Proverbs 21:31. Say the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the safety is of the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. All what you come to do in making your devotion, your personal study of God's word, is to prepare you against the day of battle. Sickness will come. Challenges of life will come. Your ability to persist, to persevere, and to conquer is what makes you a child of God indeed. You see some people that confess God's word, let problem come. You will see that actually the thing has not entered. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So after training yourself, the day you will confront issue. Now let's say for instance, those who have been preaching in the auditorium where there is AC and everything, throw them in crusade. They will have nothing to say. See, you know. That's why I say that was a man of God said they invited him to come and preach in crusade. Say he told the person he can't preach in crusade. That's just it. He quickly rejected the offer. You know the people in the church, their spirits are correct now. Have you? Nobody scares you. Go there. It is them who know that whether that your grammar is a correct one. Yes. Why I use preaching as an example, that's where I know. Other things I don't know. A man that speaks English very well. Everybody shout hallelujah, man. Go, it's good. Go there. They shout hallelujah, they look at you like, ah. You preach, they say bounce back on you. Now realize that. Kenegan of Blessed Memory said, every pastor to first go and do evangelistic work first before they will come back and see them. They will know what we are talking about. Or somebody, the church is already established, they make him a resident pastor. Abi, why not? If they throw such a person to a bush, oh, you are going to pioneer it by yourself. And if you can get 100 people that listen to you, we know that truly you are anointed. Not the one that they have cleared the ground, every beer is set to everything, just come there and be shouting and be speaking grammar. Is that what we are talking about? Eh? That's why you see many people in Nigeria, they don't like to start business. Because they know that it's not easy to start business and sustain it. Some will rather become slave forever. Let me just be walking where they will be giving me peanuts. I will just feed my family and just go when it is time. But go and meet those who have established business. Some of them fail several times before the business finally stands. They will tell you all things are possible. But when somebody speaks to the Bible, all things are possible. Good. Let that trouble come. Prove that possibility now. You see that person, his voice begins to shake. Eh? Challenges must come. Jesus never said challenges will not come. That is why I say, a man who hear me, my saying and do it, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on a rock. When the storm came, the wind blew, the house remained. But the one that hears and does not, it's like a man who built his house on the sand. When the wind came, the same challenges that come to unbeliever will come to a believer. The difference between the believer and unbeliever when challenges come is your ability to conquer it. But if you go the same way that unbeliever solve problem, you go the same way like that, nothing has entered you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I want to ask these two questions in one. The first one is that as a businessman, Bible says thou shalt not borrow. Collecting loan from bank, is it a sin? Number two, or maybe when you answer this one first.
You see, bro? The wisdom of this world look very good. Do you see Jesus? Jesus is the greatest businessman. Do you see him borrowing money to do ministry? Yes or no? Whatever we cannot trace to him, that's still interesting. Even the bankers, if they have their friend who want to borrow money to do business, they always advise them, don't borrow bank money to do business. They advise them. It's just because they know they're here. One of the law of business is that start with what you have. But today they are taking it as if then one wicked businessman, I call the wicked, a starting wicked businessman, said if you want to borrow money to do business, borrow the money in the bank whereby if you are sick, the bank will be in trouble. Because they will pray that you should not die. Say, borrow more than enough. You see that kind of thing? So that is the wisdom of this one. Whatever you want to do, if you know how to think enough, what to have is enough. Someone have only 20,000 and he has a business plan of 100 million. If they give you 100 million, that money will sink. He's not prepared for it yet. If he cannot manage the 10,000 he has to start something, he can never manage the 100 million. Me, I don't believe in borrowing because God said, thou shalt not borrow. Any other thing doesn't concern me because borrowing will make you a slave. Abi? Can we read it again? Exodus chapter 10, verse 6. Folly is said in great dignity, and the rich sit in low places. Verse 7. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Then Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train. Then verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Borrowing is a voluntary registration of slavery or into slavery. When you want to go and borrow money, you have already write a letter that, Oga, I want to be your slave. It says a borrower is servant, is a slave, and that translation is a slave to the lender. That's why if you want to borrow money, it's okay, go and bring your letter. Your uncle you have never spoke with for the past 20 years, you go and beg him. Please come and shorty me. Can you see how you started embarrassing yourself even before they give you the money? They will say, okay, this uncle is not enough. I need an uncle that is a palm stack in federal government. They will already say, go and bring some property particulars and all of this before they will give you money. Are you not registered as a slave already? They collected something valuable from you to give you a peanut. Maybe they give you 10 million, and what they collected from you, what 30 million? Is it not slavery? Can't you decide to sell what you are even giving it? Simply, you make business with their business. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, as a new creation man, can someone that has Holy Spirit be lonely? Can he be lonely?
He can be lonely if his mind is not renewed. He can feel the loneliness if his mind is not renewed. When the Holy Spirit has not become so real to that person. So the glory of God, I don't know. For up to 15 years now, I don't know what loneliness is all about. In fact, I love to be alone. Because then I enjoy myself with the Holy Ghost. I hear him very well. We talk very well. But when I was with people who have no, who are believing believers, unbelieving believers, sometimes you are talking like this, you are listening something like that. Oh my God. When you see a child of God, he says he's lonely. He has not, his fellowship with the Holy Ghost is that. Yes.
Thank you, sir. My question is from Ecclesiastes 9:11. The last verse of it that says, time and chance happeneth to them all.
Yes.
I need an explanation, sir.
Let me read it. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is none to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happened to them all. Listen. Chance, time, and chance. No matter how skillful you are, if you are not an investor of time, I guarantee your failure. It's a time and chance happening to them all. Because the day of opportunity will come. If you don't prepare for it, you have nothing to offer. Some are born gifted. Everyone on earth are born gifted. But how many people invested enough time to perfect their gifting? That's what this passage is saying. Every child of God has their spirit and one are the same. But why is it some are prospering, some are not prospering? Time. The greatest resources that God gave to us is not crude oil. It's time. What you do with your time will determine what becomes of you tomorrow. It's a time and chance happening to them all. So it means they make a choice. What they do with their time determine their worth when chance comes. Do you get the point? Some have opportunity today, they fail. Because they are not prepared. There's a book that you gave me some about 3 years ago, that the saddest day in one's life, it's not the day he falls sick or the day he dies, that the saddest day in one's life is when opportunity comes and he's not prepared for it. But this one says time. Time give opportunity to prepare for the opportunity to come. So that is the interpretation there. So no matter how gifted you are, I beseech you, invest your time wisely. Invest your time in perfecting that gift. Or else, it will soon become irrelevant. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sir, Jesus said to Judas that poor you will ever have. So you mean, do we mean that poor people will never end on earth?
Poor people can never end, will never end, and will never end. And can never end. In the sense that not everyone know the resources that God gave them. I repeat again. Anyone that does not know how to invest his time will be poor. Let's go to Proverbs 22 verse 2. You know, the scripture is like, Solomon has gifted as Solomon is a man in other two times. The rich and the poor meet together. But the law is the maker of them all. Not the law is the maker of them so. God did not make one to be rich and make another to be poor. But they choose. They choose what to. Someone is investing 8 hours daily in order to perfect his gifting. And one is just playing around. Excuse me. When opportunity comes, who will perform with? See, that's it now. The quality of value you have added to yourself through time conversion will determine the quality of service and goods you will render when the time comes. So then you see, sometimes when I'm saying they pray for people, you will have breakthrough, I laugh. Let me tell you, no matter the number of hands that is laid upon you for breakthrough, If you don't know how to maximize your time and invest your time to prepare your gifting, breakthrough, you will only be hearing it as a news. Paul will never sin in that because not everybody will agree to manage, to invest their time. If you are going home now, you will see some people sitting down drinking brukutu.
Mm-hmm.
They have been there for the past 8 hours. Excuse me. And someone has been in a place since maybe around 5 a.m. He's just coming out now. He has been dealing with matters, adding value to himself. Excuse me, sir. Please, can you use your money to hire the brukutu drinker?
No.
Who will you like to use your money to hire? No. Someone that has something to offer. I think this one, what I believe in National Orientation Agency, but they are not doing their work. As we have National Orientation Agency, which will have State Orientation Agency, Local Government Orientation Agency, gather people and tell them the truth. I think some people have used gospel to deceive many. I prophesied over your life, in 3 months to this time, you'll be a millionaire. Lie upon lie. Millionaire on what? That's why you see Yahoo boys are just increasing. Their number are increasing. Put, excuse me. Time. If you don't know how to invest your time, I guarantee your poverty. No, let me show you something. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Time. He also that is slothful in his work. You see, a lazy person is brother to him that is a great waster. Laziness. He says, a lazy person as a destroyer. Boko Haram are lazy persons. He said, they are one and the same. Ha. Is he not serious? Time. Anything you want to do in life, you must perfect it. You see, people, see some people, they don't even know, they don't read biographies. They don't even try to dare what others dare before they become what they become. I said something in one of the meetings, I said, if you see any big man who is genuine, don't ask him for money. Ask him to teach you what makes him to become who he is. The man will love you more. He may even give you money at the end of the day. In our generation today, nobody wants others to teach them. All they are after, give me. And Jesus gave one illustration. Follow me, I will make you. He didn't say I will give you. Without making, there is nothing to offer. So poor people will never finish because not all everybody will agree with this. If somebody comes to you and say, hey, sir, I need 2,000 naira. You say, oh, can you sit down? Let me teach you for 6 hours. He said, my auntie sent me. Yeah, he dodges. And sometimes, we ignorantly too, we give them. Say, you don't want hungry to kill him. If we are not there, we don't hungry not kill him. Yeah, is that not happening? Let men, you see, there are many children today, youth today, it's as if they ate dog leg. 30 minutes, as if something is pinching them. They go to another place. You hardly see them to sit down and face one thing. If they try something for 2 months, it doesn't work. They jump to another one. It's not what is happening. They never know what they are doing yet. So that's it. The best place to prepare your gifting is to know that time is what God gives to everybody equally. Nobody is better than you. The rich man, genuine rich man, they learn the secret of time conversion, which the poor didn't learn. Thank you. Next one.
Thank you, sir. We have just 2 more questions.
Okay.
Sir, based on the explanation you have given, in God's eyes, would another person be taking responsibility for another person, considering the book of Psalm 41, verse 2? The Bible says, verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor.
Did he say blessing he that keep considering the poor? See, the best
for the Lord will deliver him.
The best way to make the poor rich is to teach him. That's what I say. And even Jesus can say, look, the gospel, the poor have the gospel preached to them. He uses preaching to train them. Is that not what he did? If somebody is in trouble, whether a rich person or is a poor person, is in trouble, it is expected to assist him to bail him out. Abi? By what we have. That's normal. But genuinely speaking, if truly want to eradicate poverty, you have to teach everyone to do something. He said he will bless the work of your hands. But if what you are doing is not attracting anything, then improve on it. Don't just sit down and say, okay, now I will just keep doing it the old way. No. Consider the best way to consider the poor is to be training him how he will become rich. Now, if somebody asks me, please, I need 1,000, I say, what do you want to do with it? I ask questions. He said, must I know what you want to do with the money? I say, it's my money. If you don't tell me what you want to do with my money, then you are not supposed to come and ask me, and I will not give you. Yes. Okay, let's assume you go and meet a big man. He says, you are in need of 20,000. He said, for what? He said, why are you asking me? What did he tell you? What will he tell you? Get out of my sight. Yes. The poor will never finish because not everyone will take responsibility. Do you understand the point? So that's it. And let me tell you this. If you go and be meeting someone to give you something, if you keep going, he will soon be tired of you.
Sure.
For you to avoid that, I'm not talking about husband and wife or children and father. No. I'm talking of maybe a close relation or whatever. No. He will soon be tired of you. Sometimes you will call him, won't pick your call. Because he knew that when time you call, it's for you to make a demand. He will just ignore your call. If you depend on someone that you are collecting something from, and it comes a time, he called you, you call him 2 or 3 times, he didn't respond, he turned your call. It means he's telling you, I'm tired of you. Get sense. Yes. Last one.
Thank you, sir. Sir, this last one is an explanation in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things said he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know thy work, thou hast a name, thou livest, but are dead. So what does
you can't use this one to complete it until you read it to, if you read it down to where the passage ends, maybe around verse 7 or thereabout, you will see, you can't use that to judge it. Verse 2 says, be watchful. Abi?
Yes.
Verse 2, quickly.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which ye...
Say, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before me. You could see now. The first thing is the work. They are doing it, but not as perfect as God wanted. They are doing it in their own pattern, not according to God's pattern. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not wash, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. The next verse. Thou hast a few names, even in studies, which have not defied their garment, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white linen, and I will not blow out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Now, one of the challenges they have, they do activities unto God, but not perfectly. So any activity we render unto God, not according to his word, then is a dead service. So he said, I know thy works, and I know where you are falling. He said, watch, so that the remaining thing will not die. He said, you know, this letter was written to church. So that is. So it began in that chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 6. So before you can now pick something, you have to read the letter written to that church and where it started and where it ended. You'll be able to. You see now, look at it. No, okay, but look at message translation saying, up on your feet. Take a deep breath. Maybe there is life in you yet, but I wouldn't know it by looking at your busy work. Nothing of God's work has been completed. Your condition is desperate. You see the way he puts it in. So everything that we do has a reward. And someone is watching. It has to be done according to his design pattern. When he commanded Moses to build the temple, he said, build it according to the pattern. When he commanded Noah to build ark, he gave him the pattern. So everything we do today too has a pattern that God has designed. So when we follow that pattern, then our work will not be dead. If we share 1 Corinthians, you say, the work will be tested with fire. And the fire will burn. Any word that burns, so they will test it. Everything we do will be tested. And I pray when God tests our work, it will not be consumed with fire. Is that all?
Yes, sir, thank you very much. And thank everybody for being part of this edition. With this, we've come to the end of this outing. And we ask our Father to close it with a word of prayers.
Father, we give you praise. Thank you for what you have shared with us. We ask you, Lord, once again, that your word will create a definite impact in our life. In the name of Jesus Christ. As you have increased us once again, you will continue to increase us. And we'll continue to desire to know you, to understand you, and to respond to you. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message.
For more of our messages, visit our website www.thecream.org.ng
or call the following numbers for more inquiries:
081-3553-7845,
080-6061-8421,
070-6227-0070,
081-3291-4775. Jesus is Lord.